السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله عز وجل، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. ثم أما بعد، verily all praise and thanks are due to Allah. We praise Him and we ask for His help and His forgiveness. Whosoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides will never be misguided. And whomsoever Allah permits to be misguided, no one can ever guide. And we all take refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evils within ourselves and from our sinful acts. And we all bear witness that there is no one worthy of worship but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we all testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. Who believers fear Allah as he should be feared, and never die except as witness. Who mankind to fear Allah in the form, the one who created you from a single person, and from him created his mate, and from both of them created men and women. Fear Allah, through whom you demand your mutual rights and you ask one another. Fear Allah and never cut the tie in the relation between you and your enemies. Fear Allah, indeed, He is an observer over each and every one of us. Who believe that we fear Allah and come to speak and say the truth. He will direct us to the righteous and the good deeds and will forgive our sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will indeed achieve the greatest achievement. To continue, my dear Muslim brothers and sisters, verily the best and the truest speech is the book of Allah in His word. And the best guidance is that which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has brought to us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the words and fears are the invented issues in the religion. And every invented matter in the religion is an innovation. And every innovation is a misguidance. And every misguidance is in the hellfire. ثم أما بعد. ففي الخطبة الثالثة الأسبوع الماضي تحدثنا عن قصة أصحاب الأخدود، وقلنا أننا اليوم بمشيئة الله تعالى هذه القصة لا تذكر لمجرد تسلية، ولكن لا بد وان نتعلم منها دروسا في حياتنا. هكذا كتاب الله عز وجل، نتعلم منه دائما، حي بيننا، لغه حيه بيننا، نتعلم منه ونسير على نهجه وخطاه. وكفى بها هدايه ان تكون سائرا وماشيا على صراط الله المستقيم الذي تمثل في كتابه جل وعلا وفي سنة رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. وقلنا أنه من أول الدروس التي استفدناها من هذه القصة أن البطل الذي قام بكل هذه القصة هو فلان، وهذا يوحي إلينا مدى أهمية الصراحة التي أودعها الله سبحانه وتعالى، ومدى أهمية الذكاء الذي وضعه الله سبحانه وتعالى في عقول الأبناء والبنات، وكيف يستغل ذلك لنشر الدعوة بيننا. Then brothers and sisters, last week we talked about the story of the people of Al-Ukhdud, which is mentioned in Surah Al-Burud. And when we talked about this story, we said, inshallah, this time today we are going to learn the lesson We're going to learn the benefits, the things, the instructions which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means and is for us behind this story. As the Holy Quran, when it mentions the story, it's not just for the sake of entertainment. We listen to it and that's it. No. The Holy Quran is a living being, is a living body among us, directing us to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is, in fact, is sufficient and is not guiding. If your life is conducted according to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. And from the main lessons that we learned from this story, and we mentioned it last week at the end of the story, is that the hero, the one who was the main character in this whole story, was a boy. And this tells us and teaches us how significant and important the power and the strength, the value of intelligence, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in the minds of our children, and how to make use of this power, and how to use it and utilize it in spreading the da'wah, the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the whole story is about this main character, who is considered better than thousands in our community, and who considers the whole community from this belief to belief. And this is one of the main lessons that we learn last week. أما اليوم. فمن الدروس التي نتعلمها أيضا من هذه القصة كم يعرف يعني حينما يروى الكلام لابد وأن تنطق إليه جيدا وتعرف ما الذي يريده قائل هذه العبارات أو قائل هذا الكلام وما الذي يريده الله سبحانه وتعالى لاستماعنا إلى هذا الكلام. لو تتذكرون أن الراهب قال للغلام يا بني أنت اليوم أفضل مني. هذا الأستاذ الراهب وهذا الغلام التلميذ. لكن ما الذي حدث؟ الأستاذ يعترف بأن تلميذه قد ساقه في العلم، بل أن تلميذه قد ساقه في القرب إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى. وهذا يطوي على حقيقتين. الحقيقة الأولى هي تواضع العالم الأستاذ أمام تلميذه. أما الحقيقة الثانية وهي أن الأستاذ لا يظل هكذا تلميذه يقلده في كل شيء وفي كل ما يقول وفي كل ما يفعل. لا يظل هو المقلد، يعني لا ينبغي للتلميذ أن يسكن فقط إلى أستاذي ويقول هكذا قال شيخي، هكذا قال أستاذي، هكذا قال شيخي وفقط، ولا ينتبه إلى فهم النصوص. لا بد وأن نتعلم. لا ينبغي أن يقف الدين عند التقليد وحسب، ولكن نتعلم في حدود الشرع وفي حدود الثوابت والمبادئ التي أرداها الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه وبينها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في سنته، لا نحيد عنها أبدا. وهكذا تجد في عقلنا، من تعلم من أستاذ أو شيخ وهو يقف عند هذا الحد، بل في العصور الماضية والقرون الماضية أيضا من تعلم من أستاذ أو شيخ ووقف عند هذا الحد يعرف الرجال بالدين ولا يعرف الدين بالرجال. هذا المبدأ هو كان سببا في تأخر الأمة وكساد العلم بينها. حينما وقف التلاميذ فقط إما أن يشرحوا نصوص أساتذتهم أو أن يوجزوا ما شرحه أساتذتهم فقط، لا يزيدون على ذلك شيئا إلا من عطف الله سبحانه وتعالى وإلا من وفقه الله سبحانه وتعالى إلى الاستزادة من العلم. يقول الشيخ محمد علي الطنطاوي رحمه الله إن تأخر العلم في بلاد الشام أو إن كساد العلم في بلاد الشام في القرن الماضي سببه قلة التشجيع. معنى قلة التشجيع يعني أن الأستاذ لا يشجع تلميذه، ينظر إليه دائما وكأنه تلميذه، لا يفوقه أبدا ولا يعلو عليه. هكذا ثبت العلم عند نصوص يضعها الأساتذة والشيوخ ثم بعد ذلك يأخذها التلاميذ ويشرحوا لها، وهكذا وقف العلم. لكن الله سبحانه وتعالى يعني تسكر على العلم في كتابه الكريم. يا معشر الجن والإنس، إن استطعتم أن تنفذوا من أقطار السماوات والأرض فانفذوا لا تنفذون إلا بسلطان. قال بعض العلماء أو جل العلماء وفكرون العلم. الله سبحانه وتعالى يشجر على العلم، رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم يشجر على استزالة من العلم. لا ينبغي أن نقف فقط عندما قاله فلان أو ما شرحه فلان أو ما اختصره فلان. الدين له ثوابت وأصول، ولكن أريد أن أؤكد على حقيقة ثابتة واضحة، أنه حينما يخرج التلميذ عن نص أستاذه ويشرح ويزيد، لا بد وأن يكون في حدود ثوابت الشرع، في حدود مبادئ القرآن لا يحيد عنها أبدا. هكذا أيها الإخوة المؤمنون، درس نتعلمه من قصة أصحاب الأخدود. قال له: يا بني أنت اليوم أفضل مني. اعتراف من الأستاذ أن تلميذه قد ذاق. From the main lesson, the very important lesson that we learn from the story of the people of Al-Hudud is that the saying of the monk to help to this boy, when the boy passed by the monk and then from him and to the magician and then back and forth all the time, so when he came back to him after he killed the wild animal or the wild creature which stopped the people on the way, if you remember the monk saying to the boy, he said to him, "My son, listen, today you are better than me." It's just a statement from the monk, and we might listen to it and forget about it. He told him that, "Today you are better than me." And when he says that you are better than me today, subhanAllah, this has two facts. Number one, it is a confession, and this is admitting from the teacher himself that his student becomes even more knowledgeable than him. Not only that, even his student became more closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than him. And he admitted this fact, he confessed it. And the second fact is that we as Muslims, one of the main reasons which he calls the stagnation of knowledge is that sometimes the students, they just stop at what the teacher says. Either they don't work out their mind. They say, "This is my madhab, this is my imam, I am not going to say anything after that." And he might have the knowledge, he might have the capacity to expand and explore this knowledge, but he wants to stop at this point. And this is what we notice all the time, in the past and in the present. We have some students in the past, when they learn from their teachers, they only learn from them and they stop. And what they did after that, either they explained that text which their teacher put for them, or they breathe, or they just shorten the explanation of their teachers. They did not increase or add to this. And this is one of the main problems which faced the Muslims in the past, and it's facing them until today. That the students, sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our mind, our functions, our capacity are different. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless somebody with a talent that he might supersede his teacher, that he might precede him in knowledge, that he might have more knowledge, be knowledgeable than him. But the problem is that the students do not want to pass or to cross this limit or this point. They say, "This is a little life. We cannot cross it." Sheikh Muhammad Ali Al-Sawi, may Allah be pleased with him and have mercy upon him, said that one of the main reasons for the stagnation of knowledge in the Sham area is that in the past century is that there was no encouragement. I mean, the teachers were not encouraging the students to learn more and more and to add to their explanation and to their text. But brothers and sisters, when I am saying that, the students should just absolve themselves sometimes from the exact text which their teachers said, they have to abide by the rules and the regulations and the laws and the principles which Islam has established within the Quran and the Sunnah. They should not go beyond the circle.
They can explain, they can add to this text, they can add more commentary and explanation to them, they can add, they can increase, and they can invent, and they can get this and this and this and this. But at the same time, they have to abide by the rules of the Holy Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Which means that when the student wants to add more to what he learned from the teacher, he should limit himself to what the Quran says and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says. In other words, this verse, or the explanation of this verse, or this hadith, or this narration, or this rule, or such a principle might not came to the mind, that should have come to the mind of the teacher. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed the student to have this hadith or to have this rule or to explain it in a manner which might be more understandable than what the teacher said. And this is one of the main lessons that we learn from this. The monster, Mr. He did not consider himself as the high authority that no one can just go over him or have more knowledge than him. With this little boy, he said, my son, listen, today you are better than me. And this is a lesson that we learn all of us, including teachers and the students at the same time. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us different in our mentality, in our functions of mind, in our thinking, in everything. But still, the main rule, and I'm repeating it one time after time after time, the main rule when we work out our mind, it has to be within the limit which the Quran set up for us. It has to be within the regulation which the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has established for us. That is the point. So this is the first lesson, or the second lesson actually, that we learn from this story. أما الحديث الثاني استمع إليه عن الغلام حينما دعا بدعاء قال اللهم نجني اللهم اكفنيهم بما شئت. سبحان الله في دعائه هذا إخلاص لله عز وجل. لم يحدد لله سبحانه وتعالى الوسيلة التي ينجيه منها. لم يقترح على الله سبحانه وتعالى اقتراحا افعل به كذا وكذا وكذا وكذا. لكنه أخلص في دعائه وترك الأمر لله عز وجل حتى يتصرف فيه بما يشاء. وهذه لابد وأن تكون سمة كل مسلم في إخلاص الدعاء لله عز وجل. وأن تفوض الأمر لله فهو أعلم بما مضى وما هو كائن وما سيكون إلى يوم القيامة. فقال اللهم اكفنيهم بما شئت. فتفاجأه الله سبحانه وتعالى في المرة الأولى وفي المرة الثانية. فسبحان الله لا بد وأن نتعلم هذا الدرس، إخلاص الدعاء لله مع كامل التفويض له سبحانه وتعالى في الإجابة. وعليك حينما تدعو الله سبحانه وتعالى ألا تقول يا رب افعل لي كذا وكذا إن شئت أن تفعل كذا. لا، عليك وأن تدعو الله وأنت موقن بالإجابة. لأن الله سبحانه وتعالى في معظم آيات القرآن الكريم لما كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يسأل عن شيء كان يقول له قل لهم يا محمد كذا وكذا. يسألونك عن الأمينة قل هي مواقيت للناس. يسألونك عن المحيط قل هو أدم فاعتذر النساء بالمحيط. يسألونك عن الخمر قل فيهن إثم كبير ومنافع للناس. يسألونك ماذا ينفقون قلنا أنفقتم من خير الشيء والكيل والأقل إلا في آية واحدة جاء فيها السؤال ولم يقل الله سبحانه وتعالى لنبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم قل يا محمد، إنما قال وإذا سألك عبادي عني فلم يقل لهم قل يا محمد إني قريب، ولكن قال فإني قريب، لأنه ليس هناك وقت، ليس هناك فاصل بين سؤالك وجواب الله سبحانه وتعالى. واعلم انه اذا لم تحقق الله سبحانه وتعالى لك الجواب انما ادخر لك الاجر في الاخره، فالدعاء كله فوائد. حتى ان العلماء قد عرفوا الصلاه لغه فقالوا الصلاه لغه هي الدعاء، وعرفوها اصلاحا او شرعا قالوا هي اقوال وافعال مبتدعه بالتكبير محتكمه بالتسليم. اذا الدعاء ليس هو مخ العباده كما يعتقد بين الناس، هذا قول خاطئ. الدعاء هو العباده كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، ولكن لا بد وان يكون فيه اخلاص لله سبحانه وتعالى وتصوير له. The third lesson that we learn from this story is that when we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our Lord and we worship Him, that we learn the lesson from the saying of the boy when he was with the soldiers of the king in Christ, I mean in the middle of the ocean and at the top of the mountain, he said one sentence. And I attracted your attention last time to this statement. He said, "Oh Allah, save me from them by any means that you wish, by anything that you will. Oh Allah, save me, guard me, protect me from these people by anything that you wish." See the boy, how he called Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How he informed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Actually, in this dua, there is sincerity in the intention. That's number one. And number two, this is, there is a complete trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah azza wa jal is going to save you. There is a complete trust. This is the full trust from the boy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to save him from these evil. And when you look at this statement, we should learn from it. When you make dua, you should have sincere intention as a Muslim. And number three, you should have full trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He is going to accept your dua. And don't think that I'm calling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala day and night, and Allah is not accepting my dua. No, we have to consider some facts here. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not give you what you want in this life, He will reserve it for you till the hereafter to be a reward for you. So in both cases, in any way, you are getting the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether here in this life or in the hereafter. So we are not losing anything. And if you notice in the whole Quran, whenever the Prophet was asked about something, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to say to him, Muhammad, say to them such and such. They ask you about the month, the lunar month. Say, they are like flying, killing the time of the people. Or they ask you about the mahir, the menstruation of the women, the monthly periods of the women. Say that, avoid having or sleeping with the wives during that time. They ask you about khamr, wine, say, and if there are benefits of harmful things, their harmful things are more than the benefits. They ask you about infaq, spending. Say, whatever you think of the good things, it is for the relatives and the and this and that. So the Prophet, whenever he was asked about something, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directed him and instructed him, Muhammad, say, listen to the word, say, good. It's only in one verse in the Quran, which is, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, O Muhammad, whenever my servant, whenever my slave asks you about anything, don't just say, no, I am closer to them. I will be the one who will accept their dua, and I will be the one who will respond to them and reply to them. So in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no time to put the word say between the question directed to the Prophet and the answer from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the person who is asking you for anything. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whenever they ask you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about anything, just look say, but I am closer to them. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. The brothers and sisters, dua. Asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with sincerity, with sincere intention, and having put trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is the whole concept of ibadah. As the Prophet said in the hadith, the dua is ibadah. It's a worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dua is not just the mind or the brain or whatever it's translated as mukhul ibadah, of something which is a true statement, which is a wrong statement, and there is no place. It's not that the hadith is dua is ibadah. It's a concept of ibadah. And even when we define the prayer, they said prayer, linguistically, it means that dua, which is invocation, supplication, prayer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when they defined it technically or from the legislative or the Islamic point of view, they said it is actions and saying, movement and saying, which should start with the takbir and end up with tasleem. So dua, sincere intention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are some of the lessons that we learn from this story. And inshallah, next khutbah, we will learn more lessons from the story of the people of Al-Uhud. Let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala أن يجعلنا جميعا مما يستمعون لمن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم ما من يوم الجمعة إلا وفيه ساعة إجابة فاتقوا الله عسى أن تكون هذه الساعة. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلاة الله وسلامه على نبيه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد عباد الله اتقوا الله عز وجل وراقبوه
واعملوا صالحا تجدوه ومهما قال عنه الانسان فلا بد له من لقاء الرحمن. حاسبوا انفسكم قبل ان تحاسبوا ودينوا اعمالكم قبل ان تؤذن عليكم. علمنا جميعا ان نعي هذه الدروس الثلاث التي تعلمناها الى الان من هذه القصه. الدرس الاول هو اهميه معرفه طاقه الاطفال وتوظيفها في بناء المجتمع المسلم. اما الدرس الثاني فهو ان هذا الغلام قال له استاذه انت اليوم افضل مني، لابد وان يكون هناك تحلل بعض الشيء من النصوص التي قد يقف عندها البعض ويقول لا نزيد عنها ولا ننقص، فقد قال الاستاذ كذا وكذا. لابد وان يكون هذا التحلل في حدود الشرع، في حدود القران وسنه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. اما الدرس الثالث فهو اخلاص الدعاء لله سبحانه وتعالى مع الثقة الكاملة لأن الله عز وجل يستجيب هذا الدعاء. Dear brothers and sisters, so far there are three lessons from this story. Number one, that the main character in the story was the boy, and this tells us how important and significant the energy and the power of our children is, and we are urged and encouraged by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to utilize this power and this energy for building a healthy Islamic or Muslim community. And number two, that the teacher said to his boy, my son, to his student, my son, now today you are better than me. And this teaches us that sometimes the students with a lot of kind of arrogance and with a kind of talent who are especially intelligent and smart, he should not just stop at the text of the teacher and say that I am going to exceed that. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his companion came after them and explained more and more about the Quran, more and more of the verses of the Quran, which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not explain. Imagine, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not explain the whole Quran. He explained just some verses of Quran from the Holy Quran. If we just stop at what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about the Holy Quran, most of the Holy Quran would not be able to understand it. And that's even worse with this picture. The best teacher was the Prophet. Who are the best students? The best students were the companions of the Prophet. So this is the second lesson that we'll learn. But I'm saying again and again to repeat and confirm in our mind that when we have a teacher, when we want to add to what the teacher says, we have to, it has to be within the framework of the Quran and the Sunnah of this Prophet. And the third lesson is to be sincere in your dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to have full trust in Allah azza wa jalla that He is going to respond for answering dua. Allahumma qil lana dhunubana wa sur uyubana wa aslih hudubana wa la tazidna mimma yurdika amalana. Allahumma ij'al al-hayata ziyadatan lana fi kulli khayr, ij'al al-mawta rahatan lana min kulli shar, ajid al-haqqa haqqan warzuqna ittiba'ah wa alim al-batil batilan warzuqna ijtinabah. Allahumma qina sharra ma hammana wa ghammana وعلى الإيمان جمع توكلنا وأنصراف عنا. اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات، إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوة يا رب العالمين. عباد الله، إن الله صلى على نبيه ونبيه عليه، اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد. ان الله يامر بالعدل والاحسان وايتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. واذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم واستغفروه يغفر لكم واسالوه يعطكم واشكروه يزدكم واقيموا الصلاه ان الصلاه كانت على المسلمين كتابا مقدسا.